Shalom liyudim, shalom levenei noach, shalom goyim. It's the evening of the second day, Yud Ches Menachem Av, Tavshinayin Hei, Parashas Ekev, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 2 August 2015. Webcasting from the hills of Judea, homeland of the Jews, devotees of the God of Mount Sinai, which means my hatred. So you all know the violence here since last week. A psychopath stabbed 6 lesbians in the Sodomites on Parade on Thursday in Jerusalem, and one of them died today. Not surprisingly, a tsunami of hatred swelled up for Jews who live according to the Torah Sinai, literally the teaching of my hatred. When in a healthier, less anti-Jew culture, there should have been a tsunami of fury at the police and judicial system which let him out. After being convicted of attempted murder for the first time in that parade in 2008, and charges of malpractice for not escorting him at all times, for not frisking him, evidently, carrying that big knife, the incompetence and injustice done by the organs of justice in this matter is simply intolerable. In a healthier Jewish community, there should have been an uproar at the astonishing negligence. This man, Ishai Shissel, is clearly as sexually wrapped too tight as the sodomites and lesbians whose behavior he rejects. I've come to think of sexual perversion as an addiction, and really the most tenacious of all addictions. Morphine is a heroin derivative, and morphine is phonetically a cousin of endorphin, which the pituitary gland in the brain pumps out, the pleasure hormone, and I think one can become as addicted to one's own endorphins as to morphine, heroin. It's a known terrible truth so far that male pedophile predators attacking little boys are incurable, and I suggest Mr. Schlissel is as twisted up inside sexually about sodomy as the sodomites he fights against. In any case, he seems to be a true sociopath, meaning a pathogen on society. With the wisdom of hindsight, he never should have been released from prison, certainly not so quickly as he was, for attempted murder. The Israeli legal system let him go, and what do you know? This time, his attempt at murder succeeded. This is where Israel's rage today should be. Instead, his satanic attack became another opportunity to bash Orthodox Judaism, which makes no sense whatsoever. On the contrary, this eruption of evil by this one man highlights the generality of Orthodox behavior that is not at all violent toward sodomites and or Arabs. And then we have that other horror story from Friday, later on, which has yet to be proven, that two young Jews firebombed an Arab home, which resulted in the burning to death of a baby, and the two of his siblings are so badly burned, they're fighting for their lives now. Here, too, the behavior of one or two Jewish slaves of evil, who deserve to be executed for that murder, has been instantaneously turned into a symbol of hundreds of thousands of religious Jews who dare to live beyond the 1949 ceasefire line that went out of business in 1967. One individual, two individuals, an entire community is smeared. In the J-Post, Yossi Melman's opinion, he's a veteran leftist Arab terrorism expert. His opinion appeared under the headline, "We must crush Jewish terrorism," as if there's so much of it. And last night, thousands of Israelis came together in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem and Haifa to shake their fists at the Jewish religion for its homophobia and the religious nationalism responsible for that firebombing. President Rivlin in Jerusalem's Lion Square last night, a provincial Middlebrow if there ever was one, likewise spoke out against, quote, "the flames of violence, flames of hatred, flames of false, distorted, and twisted beliefs are spreading in our land." Please, every once in a while, too often, a Jew crosses the line, and world anti-Jewry blames Judaism, the religion, and religious Zionism, instead of the individual lunatic. Here was Ruby Rivlin and his audience in full fear of the Goyim mode, identifying with Gentile anti-Jews and agreeing the flames of hatred are spreading. This is in a class with all Jews are guilty for crucifying Jesus. The Jewish people are experienced by such types as some kind of beehive or anthill in which the community operates as one organism, like the Borg on Star Trek. There are no Jewish individuals, only Jewish drones working for the collective in a massive conspiracy. Like Adolf Hitler, who believed that both the Kremlin and the White House during World War II were controlled by Jews. Jewish Bolsheviks and Jewish bankers, capitalists. Communism and capitalism were only ruses that the Jews used to fool and dominate the world. On the one hand, there is satisfaction in this guilt-flinging at the Jewish collective, for it is foreseen in the Bible. There's the famous episode in the book of Joshua, when his soldiers are warned to take no booty. One does, and the entire people is punished. On the other hand, this behavior is a perennial headache. Uncle Shimon, a.k.a. St. Simon of Oslo of the Gentiles, beloved by the Gentiles, who gave him a Nobel Prize in Oslo for promising the heart of the Holy Land to the greatest Jew killer since Hitler. Uncle Shimon, the last night, the ex-president, addressed the crowd in Tel Aviv, and he spoke of, quote, dark extremist forces threatening to destroy the state of Israel. And he called on all Israelis to confront and rebuff them. He said Israel has to fight a war of liberation from madness and madmen. It is a confrontation between those with conscience and those without a conscience. There can be political compromises in a democratic state, but not moral compromises. Morality cannot be compromised. Israel is facing a battle of survival. It's an attitude like this that drove yours truly finally from the company of the left. I could no longer stomach their obnoxious habit of seeing all those who oppose their ideas as immoral, bad, evil people. Moral people are found only on the left side of the political spectrum. Peace Now. The very name insinuates that those who do not agree with Peace Now don't want Peace Now. And here is Peres, in typical fashion, insinuating that there's a vast conspiracy of evil people fanning the flames of hatred when there is no fanning at all. Israelis need no fanning to form a negative opinion of Arabs. And in any case, what politician does that? I know of no politician in this country who stirs up hatred for Arabs. Not one. The right rightly fears the Arabs on the basis of their behavior, but that's not the same as people fanning the flames. Overall, it's been a miserable past few days. The horror of that stabbing attack, the horror of that death by fire of that Arab infant, which has licensed, and hardly for the first time, the Ishmael clones in Judea and Samaria to flip out and teenagers to wrap their heads and faces in their desert keffiyehs and throw rocks and Molotov cocktails at civilians and police and soldiers in a slew of locations since Friday. Firebombing also licensed Dr. Mogherini in Brussels, head of foreign policy for the continent of Europe, to urge Israel to show zero tolerance after that attack in the Arab village of Douma. Grazie, dottore. Without your admonition to show zero tolerance for settler violence, we wouldn't do that, would we? We needed your moral guidance. Until now, official Israel tolerated such settler violence all the time. The EU's ambassador, or man on the ground here, Lars Faborg Andersen, also said the attackers were presumed to be extremist settlers. And how many of those are there, would you say, Mr. Ambassador? Dr. Mogherini called on Israel to protect the local population. And why? Because it's common knowledge that the settlers never stop abusing the Palestinians. Statistics of alleged settler aggression versus the statistics of homicidal Arab violence against us. There's no comparison. Last summer, three yeshiva boys were kidnapped and murdered. Jews since then have been shot dead passing by in their cars. There have been countless stoning attacks by Arabs against civilians and soldiers and police. About that kind of violence, Dr. Mogherini is silent. This is the face of European anti-Semitism today.
תפילה לעני הכי הטוב ולפני השם נשפוך זיכרון השם שמעה תפילתי ושבתי
Yeah, the horrible firebombing on Friday, possibly perpetrated by one or more Jews, has stirred world anti-Jewry, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, to rise in indignation at, in the words of the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, repeated acts of settler violence and Israel's illegal settlement policy, close quote. One or two Jews, and it still may turn out to be a non-Jewish crime, are believed to have been the perpetrators of this horror. And at fault is Israel's illegal settlement policy. Yeah. Somebody has got to set this South Korean bootleg of the Arabs straight as to the legality of Israel's resurrection of Jewish life in Judea and Samaria. Nothing could be more legal and moral than that. But for some mysterious reason or reasons, Israeli officialdom never does that. In a related way, there was an op-ed in J-Post today by Manfred Gerstenfeld, a prolific expert on Europe and West European Jewry in particular, and his piece was entitled, quote, Government Ignorance of the Propaganda War Against Israel, in which he wrote of his efforts to prod successive Israeli governments to take cognizance of the anti-Israel, really anti-Semitic mindset in Europe in our time, and the necessity of combating it. He referenced a meeting he had a few years ago with the heads of two ministries here, and they discussed Israel's public policy in Europe, and he discovered that one director general said his ministry has not yet come to a conclusion regarding whether or not anti-Israelism was a new form of anti-Semitism, said Gerstenfeld. The statement shocked me. In other words, some Israelis still don't get it. The Zionist movement was fantastically successful in resurrecting our ancient homeland and repopulating it and making it the largest Jewish community in the world, but failed completely, as Zionism did, as a remedy for the anti-Semitism that ignited the movement. That is still around, only now it has transitioned from 19th and 20th century pseudoscience to a war of national liberation by the victims of Zionism, who daily are abused by extremist settlers representing a fascist, racist, colonialist ideology that has stolen an entire country from an innocent, entire, paleolithic Palestinian people. Gerstenfeld's public opinion research revealed that of 40 million adults in Europe, 150 million believe Israel is conducting a war of extermination against the Palestinians. In 2004, Gerstenfeld discovered that 68% of the adults in Germany thought Israelis were acting like Nazis. This was in the height of the Second Intifada. He also mentioned Europeans friendly to Israel who have also tried and failed to get official Israel to take action against the narrative in Europe, but to no avail. It's what I talked about last week. Israelis are constitutionally incapable of claiming the right to live in Judea and Samaria, defending themselves, really. All they ever do is say they want to make a deal and share the spoils of war with the Palestinians, providing Israel's security concerns are taken into account. This is taurine excreta, like two ships passing in the night. Our antagonists reject any right on our part to bargain over anything. It is settled history and truth that in two stages, in 1948 and again in 1967, Israel stole 100% of Palestine and must hand back, as Abu Mazen demands, at least 22%. That's Judea and Samaria in his mistaken calculation. And, of course, the Temple Mount. No deal can ever be acceptable to the Arabs that does not include their 100% ownership of Haram al-Sharif. Ehud Barak made Arafat the offer in 2000 of freezing the status quo, Palestinian ownership of the Temple Mount on top, but not of the Western world down below, and not of the Jewish quarter, which in 1967 was in Muslim hands, but Arafat said no. Islam preaches that any territory once in Muslim hands is Muslim forever, so no sharing is possible. I think there's a little bit in every secular Israeli, from left to right, of the Tzipi Livni Yossi Beilin school of thought, according to which our conflict with what they blindly call the Palestinians is a political struggle and not a religious one. Leastwise, that is what they want to believe, as surely as they cannot believe in the perdurability of old-fashioned Jew hatred into the 21st century. In Europe, no less, and how this 21st century anti-Semitism applies to them, with the great mystery being, in this equation, the role played by their ignorance versus their fearful denial.
אל תפגעי בי לעוזבך, לשוב מאחרייך, כי אל אשר תלכי אלך, ובאשר תליני עלי, עמך עמי ואלוהיך אלוהי. באשר תמותי אמור, ושם אקבר. כה יעשה השם לי וכה יוסיף, כי המוות יפריד ביני ובינך. לשוב מאחריי,
אל תפגעי בי לעוזבך,
כי אל אשר תלכי אלך, ובאשר תליני עלי. עמך עמי ואלוהיך אלוהי, באשר תמותי אמות ושם אקבר. כה יעשה השם לי וכה יוסיף, כי המוות יפריד ביני ובינך. כה יעשה השם לי וכה יוסיף, כי המוות יפריד ביני ובינך.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben Tekoa. Yeah, the endless war against us here, a theme of my book, has nothing to do with a statehood for the Palestinians, but statehood for the Jews. And that is Islamically intolerable. I think people in the West are so themselves de-religionized, they find it hard to grasp the depth of the religious dimension, the religious factor in the hearts and minds of our enemies here, the Muslims. Maybe news today of a new 416-page book will change their minds. Penned by El Supremo in Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, and it's called Palestine, which already makes the statement, just that name and the size of that book by El Supremo, that uppermost in his mind is the existence of Israel. Barack Hussein Obama as well, in his first inaugural address, hinted at his own obsession with the Jews and his desire to replace them by the Muslims. And then next day, as president, made his first phone call to the Holocaust denier. For Obama and Khamenei and so many Muslims, their number one goal in life is to destroy Israel. They are obsessed with our existence. Israel's existence does not let them sleep at night. And as such, it is a religious hatred, which makes perfect sense for Islam, even more than Christianity is a form of anti-Semitism. Jew hatred for sure is basic to the Gospels, but it's not the only face of Christendom and Christianity. Christendom has been for 2,000 years a great civilization versus Islam that never was. By contrast, Islam, without Jew hatred, is nothing. In this book, Khamenei evidently also makes clear that other countries once dominated by Islam must return to the fold. India must be Muslim-ruled again, as a subcontinent was in the days of the Mughal Empire, I guess. Parts of Russia, and for sure, two-thirds of Iberia. Maybe you remember the line of dialogue in Lawrence of Arabia, in which Faisal, played by Alec Guinness, sighs over the loss of and desire to regain Cordova in Spain. And then recall how, after 9/11, that Muslim who wanted to build a mosque near the ruins of the World Trade Center would call it Cordova House or something like that. In Cordova, the great mosque there was turned into a cathedral, nicknamed in Spanish La Mezquita, which is the Spanish corruption of the Arabic word for mosque, masjid, in Hebrew, mizgad. And in recent years, church officials have had to summon there the police when busloads of Muslim tourists enter and go down on their faces and knees to pray as Muslims as if it still were a functioning mosque. So it's maybe a good thing that Khamenei has published his book, in which he foresees the scenario I have described numerous times, almost. He says he will be content not to drop an atomic bomb on Israel, thank you very much, but will settle for constant harassment and threat in order to make living in Israel unbearable so the Jews will flee. This is why Obama did nothing to support the anti-government protesters in Iran when their victory at the polls was stolen in 2009. This is why he wants to give Iran $150 billion. Iran is uniquely the power in the Middle East that can bring down Israel, God forbid, which desire burns in the heart of all serious Muslims today. Obama promised he was going to fundamentally change the United States, and judging by his first inaugural address and his first phone call as president, stabbing Israel in the back was the first major change he had in mind. Let's hope that Bibi was right last week when he was quoted in the papers saying that opposition to Obama's Iran deal is growing in the States. It seems as if all is lost at the UN in the matter of removing sanctions, but it still may be possible to cripple his attempt to send them $150 billion from their U.S. bank accounts frozen since 1979. This guy Obama is an enemy of the United States, an enemy of Israel, an enemy of the West, who must be fought and defeated.
Oh,
Okay, that's it for this first night of the week, and let's hope this will be a better week than the last one. I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.